This is the moment when if you have your phone or your app or your tablet, you can open the Evangel app that you can download from the app store. Whew, I need to slow down. I'm stumbling over my words. Okay, there's not an Evangel app store. There's an Evangel app that you can get at the app store. Okay, how many of you have ever stumbled over your words? How many have done it with a microphone in your hand and a camera in your face? Yeah, it's a good time. You could follow along there with all the stuff that's happening and all the stuff that we're going to talk about this morning. Last week, we started a new series, and it's called Habits, Hurts, and Hang-Ups. And we were talking about just, you know, we want to take about 8 weeks or so, and talk about how we deal with the things that are messing us up. Things that maybe have become a little bit more exacerbated or just a little bit more visible during the pandemic. We're going to see if we can talk about that and see if we can help each other. And so we started this series called Habits, Hurts, and Hang-Ups. And last week we started with this idea of God's posture towards us, that God is a God of love towards us, and that love includes justice for the oppressed and compassion for those who are broken and rest for those who are weary and mercy for those who are messed up. And we landed on this scripture in Isaiah chapter 57, where God said, I have seen what they do, but I will what? Heal them anyway. So good. I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. And I will lead them, and I will comfort those who mourn, bringing words of praise to their lips. May they have abundant peace, both near and far, says the Lord who heals them. And we said, this is God's posture towards a sinful, messed up, here we go again, humanity. And then we talked about our posture towards God. So God's posture towards us is this one of amazing love. Our posture towards God, a little bit more, we actually want to be God. And we talked about that last week and said, you know, that's our sinful nature that's at work, where we're like, I just want to make my own decisions. I'm going to decide what's right. I'm going to decide what's wrong. I'm going to be God. We want to control everything. And we said, talked about how we like to control our image, and we like to control the people around us, and we want to control our problems, and we want to control our pain. And we said that pain comes when we realize we're not God, right? And we realize we can't control everything. And so we ended with a first step of acknowledging that I'm not God. Okay? Say it with me. Ready? I'm not God. Okay? I'm going to get you to say it again, because if you don't land here, you're not going to handle step two very well. Okay? Ready? So get ready. Open your mouth. Take a deep breath. One, two, three. I'm not God. Right? I'm powerless to change my own past. I'm powerless to control the people that are around me. I'm powerless, really, to sometimes to cope with my own harmful habits and behaviors and actions. And so we started with this first step of recognizing I'm not God. If I'm going to deal with my habits, hurts, and hang-ups, then I'm going to have to start by going, I'm not dealing with them very well, because I'm not God. And I can't do it. And a couple of you approached me to say thank you for doing this series. And a couple of you also said to me, and one of you emailed me, Patty, I've learned this stuff as I've gone through other 12-step groups, through Al-Anon or Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff like that. And I just want to say, yes, you have. And we talked a little bit about that last week, about where this series is coming from. And the truth is that Alcoholics Anonymous and all of the 12-step groups, they have their roots originally in Christian principles, in principles from the Bible. And so over time, they've tried to keep that open so that people of all faiths or no faith at all can participate. But then out of that then has come, again, explicit 12-step programs that are explicitly Christian. And that's the kind of group that we run here. It's Celebrate Recovery, and it's just straight up, I'm not God, Jesus is God, and starting there. And so if you ever want to connect with that group, with our Celebrate Recovery group, it's on Friday nights. You can see there'll be info shown on the screen of when it happens and how it happens and all of that. I think it's still on Zoom at this moment, but they're quickly moving back to on-site. And so you can contact that email address to get information. And some of you right now have just shut off your brain and gone, oh, I don't need that, so I guess I'll just settle back. You know, we all got habits, hurts, and hangups. We all got some stuff going on. We all have issues to deal with. Okay, turn the person beside you and go, you got some issues. You got some issues, okay? And they're going to say it back to you, so don't get defensive. We all struggle at times with our habits and our hurts and our hangups. We all struggle with our sin nature, which we talked about last week. So what we're going to do is we're going to not just assume this is for somebody else. We're going to start by closing our eyes, taking a deep breath, and going, God, maybe this is for me too, okay? Just take a moment and whisper a prayer like that. God, maybe this is for me too. Maybe you have something for me. And if you do, help me to hear that today. Amen. Amen. So we talked about this idea of pain that comes when we realize we're not God. And we can't control everything. And pain, you know, it's a weird thing. We don't like it. Nobody likes pain. But it can actually be a gift. Right? It's how we know when something is wrong. When something is painful in our lives, we know it's usually pointing to something that goes wrong. If we don't have any sensation of pain, we're not going to know when we've been burned or when we've been injured in some way. And so pain tells us something is wrong. Sometimes it's part of the healing process. And sometimes it motivates us to change. How many of you have ever gotten up in the middle of the night and kept the lights off because you didn't want to wake anybody up, and you stubbed your baby toe on a chair in the middle of the night in the dark? Anybody ever done that? Right? How many know it motivated you to change direction? Right? There's no pain like the pain of stubbing your baby toe on a chair in the middle of the night. But pain helps us to stop. Sometimes it says you're going the wrong way. It motivates us to change direction and stops us from being in denial about the things that are happening in our lives. So we have this obstacle that happens in our lives of denial. And that's what keeps us often from dealing with our stuff. It's when we hear ourselves saying, oh, it's no problem. I'm fine. Everything is fine. And there's a fire going on behind us that's just blown up, some sort of explosion. And we're going, it's fine. I'm fine. Or we excuse ourselves and we go, everything's okay. Or then we accuse somebody else. You know, if my spouse would just get their act together, then my marriage would be fine. Right? Or if my child, or if my boss, or if my neighbor, or if my coworker, or if my parents, and the list goes on, and we start blaming other people, we accuse other people for the issues that we need to deal with in our own lives, or we just go, well, you know, so far, so good, I'm fine, it's okay, and it's denial, okay? And it will stop us from dealing with our stuff. Pain tends to expose denial. Pain tends to kind of blow the cover off denial. Most of us are not going to deal with our habits, hurts, and hangups till we're forced to, because we don't have any other option. And it might come through the pain of crisis, whether it's maybe illness or we lose our job or we're under stress. It might come through the pain of confrontation, where somebody that we love and somebody that we trust says, I don't think you're okay. That's painful. It may come through the pain of just catastrophe, where the bottom just falls out of our lives, whatever that looks like. It might be physical, might be emotional, it might be financial, it might be relational. But whatever happens, it's just something just blows up and it's catastrophe and we hit bottom and we are now in the pain of going, I'm not okay. I kept saying I was okay and I'm not okay. And pain can be one of those things that opens our eyes to the everything's fine denial, right? So that we go, it's not fine. I'm actually in pain. I'm not okay. And something is really, really wrong. And if we get to that point, and the only thing we had to offer was what I said last week was, and I'm not God, well, that would leave us pretty hopeless, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that leave us in a pretty lost place if we finally admitted we're not okay, and the only thing the pastor had to offer was, also, you're not God, and you can't do anything about it? That would be brutal. No help, no hope. But there's more. There's a second step after the I'm not God step. And it's the one that has hope. Step one says, listen, I'm admitting I'm helpless. I'm powerless. I'm not God. Step two is saying, but there is a God. And there is a power that can help me. And God can help me. And that's the good news. That's the power that can help us to handle the things we can't handle on our own. And somebody goes, are you saying then that God causes bad things to happen so that I... No. We don't believe that God causes everything. We do believe God can bring good out of anything if we give him an opportunity to do that. And so Hebrews 11:6 is the verse we're going to land on today. It's in the New Testament. And it says, it is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, let me just reword this a little bit, okay, for our purposes today, and I think we're still within the realm of the meaning and all of that. Anybody who wants to come to God has to believe that God exists and also has to believe that God has the power and the ability to help me if I'm sincerely asking for help, if I'm sincerely looking for help. And that is called faith. Okay, that is called faith. Now, some of us at times, and I'm not disrespecting this, I want to tease out a little thing here. Some of us engage in learning all of the rational, logical, philosophical arguments for God's existence. So, you know, a way that we can prove that God is out there. It's a whole area called apologetics. And it's good. It's good because we should be thinking rationally. We should be thinking logically and all of those things. There's some good to that exercise. It's good to learn and it's good to be thoughtful. But I just want to say gently that proving, you know, through argumentation, through good logic, through philosophy, proving that God exists, I'm not sure that that in itself is always going to be life-changing, okay? And I'm going to say this carefully, it's not faith. Faith is not the same as knowledge, okay? If you sit down on a chair because you're the one that built the chair and you know the chair is strong and you know it's going to hold you and you sit down, that's not faith, that's knowledge. You already know. You know that it's good. If you don't know and you're really hoping that somebody remembered to put the screws in the chair to hold it together, and you're not sure, but you're going to trust it anyway and sit down, that's faith. See the little difference there between the two things? And faith is believing something. Faith is behaving as if it's true when maybe you can't actually prove it. When you don't know that you know. You don't know. In other words, it's not provable. It's not quantifiable. It's not measurable. It's like love. You can't prove love between two people, but you know it's there. And we've talked about this before. And faith is actually okay with moments of uncertainty and moments of doubt. Faith is not shattered when you don't know the answer. Knowledge is. But faith is not. It's not shattered when somebody asks a question that you can't answer. And Hebrews 11 says that it is faith, not knowledge, that is the pathway to come to God. Are you with me? With me so far? So faith, by faith, we acknowledge God's existence. By faith, we trust God's character. And by faith, we accept God's offer of help. Okay, we're going to unpack each of these. So by faith, number one, we acknowledge God's existence. I remember working in another city years ago and talking to a young man who ran a bike shop that was right next door to our church. And we would chat back and forth sometimes. And I remember him talking to me and he was asking me about, you know, what we believe and what we think. He knew I was a pastor and we talked about things. And one time he just gestured at the sky and he talked about the stars that you see in the sky and all the stuff that's all beyond it that we can't even see. And he said, how on earth can you look at the sky? How could anyone look at the sky and think that they know everything? It's beyond us. It's beyond us. He was talking about this idea of faith, that we have to have faith that there's something bigger outside of ourselves. And creation itself, it was lovely that he said that, because the Bible says that creation itself gives witness to the existence of God. So Romans chapter 1 says, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky, like my friend at the bike shop. And through everything God made, they can clearly see God. They can see God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. Creation points to the existence of God. Psalm 19 says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The sky displays his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, but their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. And so we start by trusting and by acknowledging God's existence, even if it's just by seeing nature around us. So I'm going to make a jump here. I'm going to make a little bit of a leap of faith here. I'm going to say, if you're here, whether you're online or you're on site here in our building, even if you're not sure about God, even if you're not sure if you're ready to be a follower of Jesus, the fact that you're here at all or tuning in at all probably suggests that you suspect there's some kind of God that exists. I'm just throwing that out there. So the real issue for many of us is not, is there a God? The real issue is, what kind of God is God? What is God really like? And so A, we need to acknowledge God's existence, and B, we need to understand God's character. Say that with me. We need to understand God's character. Really proud of this group over here. You guys are super quiet, okay? Let's hear this side. We need to understand God's character. There you are, okay? Now, here's the problem. Most of us think God looks like our parents. Right? Most of us, we get our ideas about God from our parents. Now, I have good parents, and they're probably watching right now. So love you, Mom and Dad, and thank you for showing me that God is good. But, you know, for some of us, and none of us have parents that are perfect, but if your parent was unloving or aloof, you're probably going to think that God is like that too. If you have a parent that made you fearful, You're probably gonna put that on God and go, I need to be afraid of God. If you have a parent that's abusive or manipulative or uncaring, you're probably gonna transfer that over to God as well. And we need to understand what God is like, because if I don't know what God is like, I can't trust him. How do you trust a God that you don't know? I'm not good at trusting someone or something that I don't know anything about. So we have to understand what God is like, and we need to go beyond our own parents in understanding that. And we need to say, God, how do we know what you're like? How do we know who you are and how you act and what you care about? And God goes, I'm really glad you asked that, because I have the answer. The answer is Jesus. God came to earth as Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, I'm what God looks like. I'm what God looks like. So if you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus, okay? Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, he said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. I'm what God looks like. Paul talked about it in Colossians chapter 1 when he said, Christ, Jesus Christ, is the visible image of the invisible God. You go, I can't see God. Yes, but Jesus is what God looks like. You want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. And Jesus shows us a God who knows all about our situation. Jesus demonstrates to us a God who knows everything about our situation. There's a story in John chapter 4 about a woman, and she was at this well, and she was there at the wrong time of day, and everything about her signaled that she was cast out. She was on the fringe of society. She wasn't welcome in good company. You know, you didn't spend time with her. And she meets Jesus, and he transforms her life. And her testimony, when she runs back into town to tell people about Jesus, she says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Okay? Jesus shows us a God who knows all about our situation. Remember what we said in Isaiah? I have seen what they do. I'm going to heal them anyway. Jesus shows us a God who already knows. He already knows my habits and my hurts and my hang-ups. He knows the good and the bad. And somebody goes, "Nobody knows how rough my marriage is." God does. Somebody goes, "Nobody knows how much I'm struggling to break this habit, but I can't get it out of my head. I can't stop my own behavior." Nobody knows. God knows. Somebody goes, "Nobody knows the depression and the fear that I'm going through when nobody's looking at me and it's late at night and I can't sleep." They don't know the depression and the fear that I'm in. God knows. Jesus shows us a God who knows. Psalm 31 verse 7 says, "You have seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul." God knows our good days and our bad days and our bad decisions and our good moments. And amazingly, in all of it, he knows all of it, and he still loves us. He's not shocked by our sin. He's not shocked by our pain. He's not surprised. He's not disappointed. He knows you. Jesus shows us a God who knows us. And Jesus shows us a God who cares about the situation that we're in. He shows us over and over again when we read the stories of Jesus. This is not this distant, sensational miracle worker putting on a show, you know, like a street performer in Old Port, right? That's not how Jesus works. This is Jesus who's going out and he's caring about the situation that people are in. So when a little girl gets sick and dies and he raises her from the dead, does he haul her up on a stage and show her off to everybody? No, he says to the family, "Just give her some food." And he pushes everybody out and gives them privacy and gives them dignity. He gives dignity to the people that he heals. He asks them, "What do you want me to do for you?" He spends time with people that are considered sinners. He shares meals with them. He affirms the ones who are trying, even if they're a little bit awkward about it. And he weeps with those who are mourning. Jesus shows us a God who cares about our situation. And if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this, okay? God's love is unending. And God's love is unconditional. And you go, "How can that be?" Because it's based on God's character, not my behavior. God's love for you is given because of who God is, not because of who you are. It's given because of God's character, not because of your behavior. So the outcome means there is nothing I can do to cause God to love me more. And there is nothing you or I or any of us can do to cause God to love us less. He loves me on the good days, loves me on the bad days. He loves me when I'm right, loves me when I'm way, way wrong. Jesus shows us a God who cares about the situation that we're in. And then Jesus shows us a God who can change me and can change my situation. How many know that's good news? That's good news, right? Jesus can change me and he can change my situation. And sometimes he's going to do one, and sometimes he's going to do the other, and sometimes he's going to do both. But you know, there's this story of Jesus in John chapter 8, and it's another story, another woman, and it's this woman who's been caught in adultery, and she's brought before him. And we're not going to get into the whole story, but can we just acknowledge that the whole thing is a little bit suspect? Because I don't know how you catch a woman in adultery all by herself, okay? And so there's a whole lot of people that suspect it was a trap. It was a setup. They're trying to see if Jesus will condemn. Because this woman doesn't have a voice. And she had been caught in sin. And the penalty of that sin in that time, in that place, was severe. It was that it was being stoned to death was the penalty. And you can read the story for yourself, but Jesus just, he just changes the whole situation, right? And he just goes, okay, well, whoever doesn't have any sin can throw the first stone. And one by one, you know, they awkwardly just melt away, these accusers, these people that have dragged her before him, until finally it's just Jesus and her left, and he looks at her, and he looks around, and he goes, where are your accusers? And just moments before, she was there with no hope, surrounded by accusations, being bullied literally to death. And Jesus says, where are your accusers? And she goes, they're gone. And he goes, I'm not going to condemn you either. Just go and don't sin anymore. She's changed. Just like that. The situation has changed. And I imagine her life is changed too. So Jesus shows us a God who can change me and can change my situation. Nothing is impossible with that God. A situation that seems hopeless isn't. So we need to acknowledge God's existence. We need to understand God's character, and we see that in Jesus. And then, number three, we need to accept God's offer to help. We need to accept God's offer to help. And you go, well, what happens if I do that? What happens if I ask God to help me? What happens if I ask God to, if I invite the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, into my life? What does that do? All kinds of things. It's a whole different message. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 says that God does not give us a spirit of fear and timidity. It's so scary, isn't it? To reach out and go, God, I need help. God, I'm going to invite your Spirit into my life. And it's scary, but it says God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline or self-control or a sound mind, depending on how you translate it. When we invite God's Spirit into our lives, he gives us power. And he gives us love. And he gives us self-control. How many know that's what we need? Right? I want God's power in my life. I want the power to break the habits that I can't break. I want the power to do the things that I know are right to do, but I can't seem to do them on my own. I want the power to be able to break free from my past. I can't change it, but it can stop hurting me and it can stop damaging me. And I want to be able to let those memories go to a place that is safer where they don't hurt me anymore. I want the power to be able to get on with the life that God has called me to live. And then I want that love, power, love. I mean, I want the love that allows me to be vulnerable and be open and be able to love people and have them love me and not be afraid of intimacy and not be afraid of loving and being really loved because I know that my God loves me. And the Bible says that when God's Spirit comes in, he gives us power. He gives us love, and he gives us self-discipline, self-control, sound mind, and you know, obviously we need that. Habits, hurts, hang-ups, stuff that we can't shake, habits we can't break. God can help us to bring chaos, to bring that chaos into peace and into order. But we got to accept God's offer to help. And you go, and then will it be instant? Can I just invite God in to fix everything? Will it just be instant? Probably not. Sometimes dealing with our habits and our hurts and our hang-ups means we got to face some things that we don't want to face, some real problems we haven't wanted to deal with. It's probably going to involve taking some risks. It's going to involve being honest and trusting God. But step one says, I'm not God. Step two is accepting God's offer to help. And when we take this second step, all of a sudden, we're not alone anymore. And it's not just all on us. It's not just on our shoulders to somehow come up with more willpower and a better strategy, and I'm going to do better on Monday, and I'm going to do better on New Year's Day, and all of that stuff, and this time I'm going to prove it, and I can do it. Now it's going, I can't do it. And all of a sudden, God comes alongside and says, but I can. And I can help you get there. This is what God says to us. When you go through deep waters, it's in Isaiah 43. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown, for I am the Lord your God, your Savior. Can I read that over you again? When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown, for I am the Lord your God, your Savior. And then he says in Hebrews chapter 13, God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And so we reach out and we pray. And we pray a simple little prayer, something like, we're going to put it on the screen, a simple little prayer that just says, God, I believe you exist. And I think I can trust your character because I see who you are through Jesus. And I need help. Would you come and bring change in me? Thanks. I'm going to give us a moment to each of us pray this prayer ourselves in the space that we're in. And you go, well, I don't know if I know, but that's okay. We come by faith. And faith is saying, I think I'm going to trust. I think I'm going to try. Let's see what happens. Whisper this prayer with me, God. I believe you exist. And I think I can trust your character because I see who you are through Jesus. And I need help. I need help. I'm going to pause there, and because there's some of us that it's hard to get those words out. We look at the mess we're in, some of us. We don't want anybody to find out, and everything in us is wanting to go, no, 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 I don't need help, I'm fine. Just between me and you, God, I need help. We need your help. So would you come, and would you bring change in me? Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we close our service. And I want you to know we're going to keep walking through this series. And I know the first couple steps can be a little raw for some. Make sure you come back. Make sure you walk through this. Be part of our group on Friday night if you want. Be part of our 3Q group. But let's not give up. Let's really go, God, I really want to walk through this and have you help me deal with my habits and my hurts and my hang-ups. Listen, if you prayed that prayer just now and you go, that felt important. Felt like maybe the first time you've prayed a prayer inviting Jesus to come and help and to be part of your life, and you want somebody to follow up with you, you want somebody to pray with you, you can just text faith to the number on the screen, and we'll leave it up there for you, and somebody will respond to you. It'll give you a form, you fill it out, and one of our team, prayer team, will respond to you and get back to you. But we're going to pray now the same way that we pray every single week, because we don't leave God here, right, in this space. We take God with us. And so I want you to look and I want you to think ahead to what's coming in your week, whether it's your job or you have a paper due or you have an exam coming or you have a doctor's appointment that you're nervous about or you have family stuff. A whole bunch of you probably have family Thanksgiving today or tomorrow, and it may be great or it may be awkward. In all of those places, we're going to pray for God to help us to carry Jesus well into those spaces, okay? So, Lord, we bring to you our week that's coming. The things that are in our mind, the things that are in our hearts that we're thinking about right now, would you help us, our God, to carry Jesus well in those spaces? Would you help us as we go and as we interact with different people, would you help us to do good? Help us to love each other and help us reveal Jesus to a world that really needs you. We ask, God, that you would come and you would use us and you would work in us and you would work through us so that we can show the world who Jesus is. And we thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen, amen. God bless you. If somebody asks you what you did this weekend, just tell them, at my church, we said sometimes we need to ask for help. That's a conversation starter, right? If you'd like to receive prayer this morning, there's people at the prayer stations and you can come to those. 3Q starts in 10 minutes. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.